Now it's time to be educated and entertained by the country's most famous environmental scientist, Joey Bia's research grizzly bears, wolves, and birds of prey. He continues to travel all across America to bring you the very best that nature has to offer. Be ready to be amazed. Here's your host, Joey B.
Hello and welcome to Joey B. Outdoor Science and Nature. Man, do I have the coolest job. I travel all across America to bring you the very best that nature has to offer. Well, I know it's getting closer to Christmas because Gabby and I play the tree on the roof game. Don't know it? How could you not know it this time of the year? Driving down the road, you're the first person to call out tree on a roof, and you get a point. Well, here's the deal. If somebody has like a car carrier or luggage carrier on top and you call that out, it becomes a negative point. So the prime times to do this are afternoons and specifically on the weekends. Well, Gab and I, every weekend, we're traveling to our basketball games and we play the tree on the roof game. And I'm telling you right now, I'll say this publicly. She's been kicking my tail every weekend. And this weekend coming up will be the biggest weekend, closest to Christmas, and tree and a roof game, many trees going out there, and I plan on winning. But hey, if she wins, I shake her hand and we move on. Well, of all of this, you know, tree on a roof, I had these thoughts and my memories of Christmas trees and me. You know me by now. I am first going to discuss the safety side of things because that's just who I am. And that's the science behind always. And then tell you a few awesome stories of Joey B and trees. Well, for any of your listeners who are purchasing real trees, here are my rules for a safe Christmas season. A dry Christmas tree indoors is a safety hazard and truly a mess too. So first, let's go to the farm. This is the perfect family outing. So I'm going to let you know that if you're looking for something to do with your family, this is a great day. So many of the places, they have little, again, some of it's, marketing, but they have little stores inside there and free hot chocolate. Some have fires around there. Some have Santa there, candy canes. It's just, when I say a great family day, it truly is. I'm also going to let you know that it is a muddy day, so prepare for that, or it depends on where you live. It is a cold, frozen day, so plan out all of that before you leave. And now you get to go out and cut your own Christmas tree down. Sounds great, but prior to leaving your home, and this is so important, you need to measure from the inside of the tree stand you're using to the ceiling. And you need to have this measurement written down. Then the next question is, well, are you putting a star on a tree or an angel or a cowboy hat? And yes, I put a cowboy hat on mine, but you're going to see why in my stories later on. So you need to, let's say it's the angel, then subtract that measurement from that total measurement you had from stand to the ceiling. You need to know that before you go. You need to bring a tape measure. Because you don't know how many people I have seen out in their driveways going, it doesn't fit. We got to cut. And you got to cut more out and you bring it in and out. Just do it one time. Figure it out. So let's go back to the farm. Sometimes cutting a tree while you're laying on the ground, and I have done this many times and it is cold down there, you don't get the perfect square cut along the trunk. Either recut the trunk using the Christmas tree, like the Christmas tree farms, they have their own bow saws, and typically that's what you're cutting them down with. And many times they'll even have chainsaws down where, see, you're on the hill cutting the tree down, and then you're dragging it down or carrying it down, hopefully carrying it down, to where you're going to purchase it, and they will recut it for you there. So I'm going to tell you that. Or if you happen to be handy and know how to use a chainsaw, when you get home, you safely use your chainsaw. That means eye protection, ear protection. And you cut that square level cut on the bottom. That's vital. Next, most stands have a pin welded inside of them. And that's so the tree doesn't tip from side to side. So you have to drill a hole in the center of the trunk at the bottom. Some Christmas tree farms do this, but I've noticed a number of them shying away from this because if they don't get it perfectly in the center, you're going, well, I don't want the tree now. Oh, so they've shied away from it. So what I have is, I actually have, before I even go, see, here's my prep day, because you notice I really didn't get in, except for the chainsaw, I really didn't get the safety side of things just yet. So watch this. Before I go, I've got my battery-powered drill. I've got two Irwin bits. That's a brand name. They're spade bits, and I have them just for my Christmas tree. And I have one that is very wide, and I create a wide hole. Then I put the smaller one in, go a little further up, because the pin is wide at the bottom. It's a pin, narrow at the top. So I prep it just for that reason. So when I get home, I got the chainsaw, level cut. Irwin bits, the spade bits, get it so it's ready for the pin. Now, the tree is upside down. No, it's not. The tree is carried in. It's easier to carry it in backwards with the trunk facing because that's just how it goes. And most times, it's easier to keep the branches tied up before you get inside there. Once you get the tree up and you know that it's level in the stand and safely secured, allow the branches to naturally fall into place before you decorate it. Hey, so give it a couple hours. You'll see the branches starting to fall where they've been growing probably for the last 10 years. If you are purchasing a tree from a lot, here's the safety on this one. Grab hold of a small branch and pull all the needles toward you. If the tree is fresh, only a few needles will be in the palm of your hand. If you have many needles, the tree is dry and simply go find another one. Guess what? A fresh cut tree, I can't speak correctly, but I can say a fresh cut tree, got it that time, still thinks it's alive. You go, wow, how could this be? This is because we need to transport water from the base of the trunk to every needle on the tree. So here is your botany 101 quick lesson. Many of you will remember from your botany classes. I had many of them because I have 2 degrees, undergraduate degrees from Rutgers and then my master's after that. But one of them was botany. Well, you've got the xylem, which carries water and nutrients upward, the phloem, which carries food downward. Well, if you remember, the annual rings on the tree, and the annual rings is how often somebody gets a phone call. No, the annual rings, if you remember, you can count the rings to see the age of the tree. Well, they happen to be the old xylem and phloem. Well, once you cut the tree down, they're still active. And as long as you keep putting water in the base, the xylem will take the water upward. And that is the key thing. So if you do this next step, your Christmas tree will look good and stay healthy. And here is the safety piece of it. And also just having a great tree looking and smelling wonderful throughout the season. You're going to fill the stand with water to the top 3 times per day. Yes, I said 3 times per day. It will easily drink this much water. My trees last well into the New Year's because I do this step. And this show is brought to you by Ramsey Outdoor Stores. Whether you shop online or at one of their stores, your experience will successfully gear you up for your next adventure. Go to RamseyOutdoor.com. Well, on this podcast show, I'm talking Christmas trees. I have another podcast show that you can go look up because it is all about Christmas tree farming. And we actually filmed an adventure for Joey B TV. That's JoeyBee.tv on Christmas tree farming. It's 2 separate farms, one a podcast show, one a film show. But don't go there now because you need to listen to this show. So here you go. While I was at Rutgers University, I would work at Jolie Nursery. This is one that sold plants, not kids. Well, a little botany joke I always throw in there. Well, I would just love the Christmas time of the year. So I would return, and it's now returning home. And my job was just like, walk home. Hey, Louie, I'm back. Okay, when are you working? And it's just like I would get to work when I was playing soccer. Hey, Louie, I'm back home for 2 weeks. Okay, get to work. And it's just, he just treated me so well with that. I appreciate, Lou, I appreciate that very much so. Well, I just said it was the best time of the year to work for one reason. Everyone is happy coming in for a Christmas tree. So here it is. You got a big truck bringing the trees in. Here I am on the top of a pile of hundreds of Christmas trees. And while I am unloading the trees, I am making 2 piles. One pile is a massive pile, just getting them off the truck. And the other pile has like 10, 15, 20 trees. Louis comes out and goes, why do you have two piles? I said, this pile is for, we're selling. And this pile, I have to pick out the tree that I'm going to be taking home. He goes, you're nuts. I said, yeah, I would actually take care of all the ones that I gets put away. And then I'd go through at the very end, the 15 or 20 trees and find what I thought was the perfect tree. Every year, this is not an exaggeration. My mother would say to me, because again, in college, living at home, I'd say, hey, mom, I'm coming home and I'm bringing a tree that's a perfect tree. And she'd go, make sure it's not a big tree. And I would just, I can't use the word lie, so I'll just say fib. And I'd go, mom, don't worry about it. This tree's smaller than last year. And every year, the tree was larger and larger. And she's like, I can't take it. You got to get us. I said, mom, don't worry about it. But we would end up with the absolute greatest tree. Now, here's something really cool. Working at Jolie Nursery, and I'm a Rutgers student, and the company's ordering the trees and delivering the trees over the year. Well, one of the owners, their farm was up in Canada, a 5,000-acre Christmas tree farm. So I get to talk to the owner of this farm, and you're seeing him from year to year. And I must have been about a junior in college at the time. And he said to me, he goes, I got a job offering for you. I said, well, yeah, what do you got for me? And I'm thinking he's something local. He says, I'd like you to be the manager of our Christmas tree farm up in Canada. First, your eyes bulge out like ding, ding, ding. And then he started to describe. And you know what? And I appreciated the offer, but it wasn't right for me at that juncture in my life. But what an honor to be. It's like, think about this. I'd be living Christmas trees 365 days a year. So that's just a great deal. Now, moving along, let's talk about and I've mentioned this before. I live in this beautiful old historic home. Real high ceilings. Well, I take my tape measure to the farm. So you see, I've done so much research out west. I've spent a lot of my life in Montana and Wyoming, in Idaho. Love those states. Go down to Colorado. My favorite state of our country is New Mexico. I just love everything about the Southwest, the culture, the people. It is great. So when you see my Christmas tree, there are chili pepper lights that adorn the tree. And people just look at it and go, wow, so cool. Also, many of you that listen to my shows know that I was also the director of the Chili Pepper Research Lab, doing research on chili peppers from around the world. So no surprise there, but it's got that Southwest flair. And then my ornaments, there's a bunch of Cowboys things on there, but a number of Southwest things. Definitely animals all over, outdoor activities, like you'll see snowshoes and fishing waders. And these are all ornaments, by the way, not my real waders on there. And people just say, man, this looks so cool. And it just was deserving. So I found a children's small child's cowboy hat, and it just goes on top. It just fits so well. People walk in and go, man, this tree, number one, they're going, because it's a huge, tall ceiling, they're going, this is so cool looking. And then they start looking at the ornaments. And some people, I'm not joking, probably spend an hour looking at, because I, by the way, I put my tree in the center of a room. And when it's in the center of the room, you can walk all the way around it. And I have a way of safely putting my lights with the wires and all that you cannot trip on the wire. I've worked all of that out. Now, Christmas trees and me. First moved into this historic home, back corner of the property, because everything was just like overgrown and poison ivy galore and took care of all these different things. And this one corner needed something. So I put a Douglas fir in there and I put an 8-footer in, and every year I'd be decorating it with lights, turn on the backyard, a couple of different lights, different places. But that tree with just white lights out there. So it's just for those of you that have So there's many different types of trees that are called Christmas trees. You got your balsams, and the list goes on and on and on. Well, I had this Douglas fir in the back corner, white lights, just really, again, large piece of property. So it's out there. So you look out in the back, you look snow covered, and you see those white lights reflecting off the snow. Really neat. Well, now I'm here for, 22 years. The tree is about 40 feet tall. I no longer can adorn it with lights because it is that large. So again, Christmas trees in me. Yeah, I got a big one, but I can't decorate it anymore. So that's part of it. Now, here's something fun that you may all want to think about doing besides playing the tree on a roof game. Every year I select a Christmas song of the year. So you know what's really neat? I had this conversation with my brother-in-law, Eric, recently, and we're talking about it. And Christmas music is so good, but you only listen to it 1 month a year, and then it vanishes. And I said, it's so cool, but some of these songs, hey, you listen to them, have been around for 40, 50, 60 years, and it just keeps coming back around. Well, I listen to all of it every year, and I select what I think is my Christmas song of the year. And I'm going to let you know that it's not here yet, but in the lead right now is a song I had never heard before. It's by John Tesh, Carol of the Bells. And it's got some great guitar work in it. And many of you know that I am a guitarist. So I'm really listening to it. Gabby has the Trans-Siberian Orchestra, Carol of the Bells, up till now. So you get to pick your own, by the way. So it's not a competition between you and someone else. You get to pick what you think is your song of the year. Well, I should also let you know that very shortly I'm going to be out there looking for a new farm. We grew up owning a family farm and all that. And I will have a small Christmas tree field on the farm. Not for sale to the general public. It will be for family and friends. So when family and friends want to come up, they will not have to purchase a tree. The trees will be there. They can cut their fresh cut tree. And yeah, you know what? I'll give them some hot chocolate. I'll make it very festive out there as well. So this time of the year, I guess you now know why I love it. But I always first remember the reason for the season. Until next time, enjoy life's adventures.
You can follow all of my adventures online at joeybee.tv. That's joeybee.tv. And a very special thank you to the men and women of our armed forces for keeping us free, and for our police and firefighters for keeping us safe. May God bless America. Until next time, this is Joey B. Enjoy life's adventures.